Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and that is a wonderful thing. And we pray that you are having a great, great day. This is also Memorial Day weekend. And so if you are traveling out of town, please be careful. Take good care of yourself. Make sure that you plan godly activities and you have fun. Would like to invite you to our services this week. 165 North Grove Street. We're going to be worshiping Jesus, because let me tell you, like we're talking about here in Luke chapter 7, we have been forgiven much, and therefore we want to love much. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our worship service starts at 10:30, and we would love for you to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with us. We exist to be a blessing. And we want to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to the community in that order. We want to be a spiritual blessing and a relational blessing. However we can be a blessing, that's what we strive to do. Here on the Refresh Radio program, we want to be a blessing by bringing the word of truth. Pray that it is refreshing for you. This is not meant to be a place of condemnation, because as long as Jesus has not returned, there is still an opportunity for people to be saved. So that's why we exist at Merritt Assembly of God. And if you would like to come and join us, we would welcome you with open arms. If you do come and visit, make sure you stick around and introduce yourself to me. I'd love the opportunity to get to meet you. I had something happen here a couple of weeks ago. It was back towards the end of April. I stopped to see my son, and I had the privilege of running into a young lady who stood there, and she just had this big smile on her face, and I didn't recognize her at first. And she said, "Do you remember me?" And all of a sudden, when that happens, now I've got the challenge. I mean, she's just smiling great big. And all of a sudden, I remembered who she was. I hadn't seen her since she was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And now she's a full-grown adult woman. And It was such a pleasure to have her come up and introduce herself, and that's the way we like to encounter visitors at church. And what we do is, when we ask you to fill out a visitor's card, we're not just asking you to bombard you with information, but we're asking because we want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We might not do it right then at that moment, but throughout the week, we want to call out your name before the throne of grace, that the presence of God would flood your life, that the influence of God would permeate not just your spirit, but your spirit, soul, and body, and that God would strategically place you where he planned for you to be, so that you can thrive in your relationship with God and make kingdom impact and influence happen. So hopefully you can come and join us. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday we have a potluck dinner after church. And so we will have some of the best food in town. You won't have to pay for it. And, you know, you might learn to eat something that you'd never eaten before. We have some great, great cooks. Like I say, I didn't get to looking like I look, but by accident. I really have to show restraint, that especially at a potluck dinner. I have a small spoon that I go around with and have just a little bit of samples of everything that people bring, because if I ate as much of everything as I wanted to, I would be looking for a new wardrobe, and I don't want to be doing that. Let's go back to Luke chapter 7 today. Verse number 43, by the way, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God. Luke 7, 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. The question was, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? That was in verse 42. Jesus said, and he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. And therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want to point out to you here that even though there wasn't a lot of emphasis that Jesus had made at that point in time, he noticed everything that Simon had not done. And while he was facing the center of the table up until that point in time, now he's turned his attention to the woman, and he noticed everything that the woman had done. And I want to remind you that God is not negligent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he noticed every detail about what this woman had done for him. He says in verse number 43, therefore I say to you, so he's talking to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. I guarantee you that Simon, as he was sitting there, thought of himself as being better than this woman. And Jesus made it known that she was spiritually in a far better place than what he was. She was a lover of God. She knew God. She just didn't know about God. And that's very, very important. The Hebrew word for to know in a very personal and a very intimate sense is yada. And nowadays people say yada, yada, yada. And they take that knowledge very flippant. It actually is meant to indicate one of the closest relationships that is possible. And we need to move beyond the concept that God is just the God of Sunday. We need to move to the reality that God is God all the time. That we have the ability to know him and worship him and love him when we're in church, but we also have the opportunity to worship him, to know him, and to love him everywhere we go, because he's right there with us. So he says, her sins are, which are many. Jesus was not trivializing the sin. He wasn't overlooking the sin. There are many people, when they go and look at John chapter 8, I believe it is, about the woman caught in the act of adultery, and he tells her, that he is not condemning her, but instead he had said, he who's without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then as everybody began to leave, as he wrote on the ground, He said, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" And she said, or he says, "Does no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." That's where many people end. But that's not where Jesus' statement ended. He said, "Go and sin no more." Jesus' forgiveness is available for every sin, but when he saves us and forgives us of our sin, it's not so that we can continue in the same pig pen that we've been living. It's so that we can go and live a different quality of life. This woman came into the presence of Jesus broken and humiliated. But she came in with the best that she had to offer it to Jesus. And Jesus was going to give her something even better than she brought in. And we'll get to that. And he said she loved much. The problem isn't whether or not Jesus is worthy of our love. The problem tends to be whether we are going to elevate the degree that we've been forgiven or whether we're going to elevate our feelings, whether we're going to elevate our circumstances. A lot of people come in and say, "Hey, I'm going to need you to pump me up. I'm going to need you to motivate me." Well, that's fine on an occasion. We're here to help one another. We're here to strengthen one another and edify one another. But at some point in time, we need to come to church with a revelation. This is not a duty. This is a privilege. And I'm going to worship the one who died to make forgiveness available. I'm going to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so Jesus, then he's been looking at her, but talking to Simon. Now he's looking at her and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" I find it interesting that what the people of Jesus' day saw as possible, and that was, they suddenly believed that he was able to do miracles of healing. But whenever he started talking about forgiving sins, all of a sudden they were offended. All of a sudden they're confused. Who can forgive sins but God? Who is this who forgives sins? We have flipped the script. Now we have no problem believing that God can forgive us. People struggle in their faith believing that God can heal them. I've got great news. It's not that he does one or the other. He is Lord over both. He is Lord who forgives sins, and he is also the Lord who heals our infirmities. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. By his stripes, we were healed. But I will tell you, if you experience healing, but you don't have him living as Lord in your life, that healing is going to have a very short lifespan. One other thing I'll throw this out there is a lot of people come to Jesus for healing in their body, and then if he heals them, they go right back to doing the same thing that they always did, and then they wonder why they end up back in the same place. Could we just come to the place where we say, "God, would you teach me how to live?" You know, one of the things I really wish, for people's sake, not for mine, it'll be a lot more work. Outside of God, our most important relationship is our relationship with our spouse and our kids. And there are so many people who are out there who are just meandering their way and hoping that they're going to get it right. When God has given us his word and he's given us the body of Christ and he's given us generational believers, that we could avail ourselves of their wisdom and resource. And man, it would be so awesome if we could help people to avoid some of the mistakes, some of the bad decisions that bring heartache and misery and ruin into people's lives. You know, you don't just need a preacher, you need a pastor. I'm so thankful I've got a pastor. You say, you are the pastor. No, I've got people in authority over me. And I can get in contact with them, and I can talk to them. I've got three different pastors that are in my life. I've got a presbyter, I've got a superintendent, I've got a general superintendent. I know all three of them. They know me by sight, they know me by name, and I could avail myself of their the gifts that they have inside of them at any time. Your sins are forgiven. What a relief. This woman had come in broken, but she was getting ready to go out much differently. To the woman, he says this. This is in verse number 50. Your faith has saved you. There are a lot of Simons in the world, Simon the Pharisee, who want to remind you of all of your failures. Jesus is not looking to excuse your failures, not looking to enable you to continue them. He's looking to transform you, because what God is able to do in your life should have more influence than all of our past mistakes. Your faith has saved you. The good news is God had given that woman faith to believe in Jesus. He had also given faith to Simon the Pharisee. He had given faith to all of those who were sitting at that table. Jesus knew the condition of the woman. He knew the condition of Simon. He knew the condition of everybody who was there. And so when he made the statement, he wasn't surprised that they had no concept of forgiveness. He says, your faith has saved you. You and I need to employ the faith that God has given to us. It is not faith in my faith. It is faith in the one who gave me faith, and that is in God. I have faith in his word. I have faith in his character. I have faith in his nature. And when he says that you're forgiven, you're forgiven. And he says something else. He says, go in peace. That word saved, by the way, it means that he has made you well spiritually. If we're sick, we go to the doctor, and the goal is to get better. If we have financial issues, we go to people who know how to handle money, and we try to get ourselves in a better financial situation, unless you're the government of many of the countries around the world, and then you just keep digging. I will tell you, one of the lessons that I learned many, many years ago was that the philosophy of the world with finance was much different than the word of God in finance. And I decided a long time ago, I'm going to stick with the word of God instead of, the philosophy of the world that says you need to be leveraged to the hilt. No, the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And so you and I, we need God to make us well, make us whole in every area of our life. But not only does he say your faith has saved you, that's the event, but the event sets her up for this next instruction, this next admonition, and it is go in peace. She came in broken, but now she was going to be leaving having been made whole. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and the Greek word is Irene, and it means the state of well-being and soundness in every area of your life. Jesus has the ability to override all of our brokenness. He can resolve it. so that when we begin our journey because we're saved, we can walk entirely different. We can think entirely different. The Gadarene demoniac, they found him clothed where he had been unclothed, and they found they're sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. That's what Jesus can do. And the people of the community were so intimidated, they said, we're going to need you to leave. You know what I'd be saying? You know, he's not the only problem we got in town. Could you stick around for a while? We got a few more problems. I've got a brother-in-law who is extremely handy at repairing things. And when he comes, they want to do enjoyable things, but a lot of the things that bring him enjoyment are, hey, do you have anything I can fix? What if Jesus showed up at church and said, hey, do you have anything that I could fix? All of us have things that we need Jesus to put in its proper place. The word go indicates that this is not just about an event of forgiveness, but it is about a lifestyle of peace and wholeness. Forgiveness by Jesus of our sins should prompt a personal relationship with God that is deeply compassionate and the most important relationship in our life. Too many people are trying to build relationships on faulty foundations. Did you see how beautiful that person was? Did you see how handsome that guy was? Did you see the car that they drove? Do you see the clothes? And do you see what they do for a living? Did you see how much money they make? All of those things are faulty standards. Here's the way to have a healthy and holy life, and that is fall in love with Jesus more than you fall in love with anything else. Fall in love with Jesus more than anyone else. And then, this is what I taught my daughters, hide yourself in Jesus so that the only way that a person can get into relationship with you is to find themselves in a tremendous relationship with Jesus. Too many people are trying to make decisions with people that they have an intersection with. Hey, I was at this restaurant and wow, all of a sudden the next thing I know I'm in a, you might not be in a long-term relationship, but it constantly amazes me about Hollywood. They go to one movie and they fall in love with a co-star, but you know what? There's going to be another project that comes down the road, and the next thing you know, they're casting away the one relationship and they're embracing somebody else. And you know, there used to be a country and western song, "Have you left the one you left me for?" The best way to do it is say, you know what? Jesus is the most important person in my life. He has made me whole from my brokenness, and I don't want to go back to my brokenness. Relationships are hard work with Jesus, but they're really, really challenging without Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus should cause us to adjust our schedule like it did for this woman so that we don't miss the opportunities of compassionate worship that the Simon the Pharisees don't even realize are there before them. So I have this understanding that when we get to heaven, we are going to be aware that God intervened in our life a whole lot more than what we're aware of. That's the positive. I also believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to realize we missed a lot of opportunities to worship, to pray, to love, to share the gospel. I don't look at my life and regret the things that I did for Jesus. I look back at my life and I would say, God, would you forgive me for the opportunities that I missed? So I'll tell you one One quick story here. We got about 3 minutes. I was working on a project, and we have a suspended ceiling. It's now been done by professionals, and I was up in there. We'd struggled with high electric bills, and there was no insulation. And I was working up there, and I said, God, why did they never insulate this ceiling? And, you know, a lot of times we want to ask questions about what was going on in somebody. And that's not how God answered my question. He said, I've blessed you with the financial resource to insulate the building. Why haven't you done it? And I tell you what I did. I got down off the ladder, and I immediately went to Home Depot, which is two blocks away from the church. And naturally, they didn't have any that night, but I ordered it. This goes back a long time ago. And I said, you know what? I don't want God to ask me that question again. Don't ignore the opportunities for worship that come by, because you might get another opportunity. You'll never get the same opportunity again. Love by a forgiven worshiper who worships in faith, it changes us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This woman worshiped him for who he was, but she left a different person than when she came. You know what I pray? I pray that all of us worship the Lord so completely this Sunday, even before then, that it changes us, that it sets us on a path where wholeness exists and influences us instead of the fact that we're imprisoned on a path of brokenness that has been with us our entire life. So let me ask you this question today. How grateful are you to be forgiven by a holy God who makes heaven available for us? I hope you don't think that it was an insignificant process to bring forgiveness. We are a forgiven people because of the greatness of our God. Let's make sure that we love him like a nameless woman instead of worshiping him like a Simon the Pharisee, who really wouldn't worship, really was just there to set in judgment on Jesus and point out all of the perceived flaws where really the flaws were Simon's. Let's worship Jesus. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church. If not, we will see you Monday here on the Refresh radio program. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whale and Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.